Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Hackensack, New Jersey, and earned a Doctor of Divinity degree from the Master's College. From 1970 to 87, he served as senior pastor of three Baptist churches. And from 1987 to 2005, he was the president of Moody Bible Institute. And since 2008, he's been the president of Cornerstone University. And his web ministry, Strength for the Journey, features daily devotionals, weekly messages, and commentary. The author of close to 15 books, his name, Dr. Joe Stoll. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a fabulous salesman for God for 50 years, a world-class Dr. Joe Stoll. Welcome, Dr. Real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. A delight to be on your program.
Can we start this evening by you offering us an opening prayer, please?
Yeah, I would love to do that. Dear God, we just come to you with grateful hearts to thank you for, in a world that we sometimes feel like we don't have a lot to be thankful for, we look to you and we realize that your great character, your love, your mercy, your grace fills our heart with so many things to be thankful for. And we thank you too, Lord, that in a changing world, you never change. So you're our anchor, you're our rock, and we can find steadfast confidence in our relationship to you. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who has freed us from sin and granted us eternal life. So we just come with hearts full of thanksgiving, and we trust that this program will be a blessing to many. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Can we start by talking about your childhood growing up in Hackensack, New Jersey, and your mom and your dad, please?
Jack, I'd be glad to. So I grew up, my dad was a pastor, right? So I was what people affectionately call a PK, preacher's kid. And I have to tell you that nobody in my dad's church ever said that really in a nice way, because I was probably the poster child for what my dad was preaching against most of the time. You know, I'd like to have a $5 bill, Jack, for every time somebody said, "You're the pastor, son. You ought to be an example." Well, I was only five. I didn't want to be an example, right? I just wanted to have fun with my friends. But my dad was a great person, a man of real character. You know, I grew up with admiring him. People would often say to me, "You're the son of Joe Stoll, aren't you?" I was always proud to be the son of my dad. And my mom was a gracious, loving woman. And so I grew up in a very healthy home, for which I'm grateful. I realize a lot of people don't have that privilege. But so I want to steward that carefully with a life that blesses others as well. And I had two sisters, one younger, one older. So I was stuck in the middle, Jack. And of all the things that are wrong with me, many of those wrong things are directly attributable to being sandwiched in between those two girls. But growing up in Hackensack, New Jersey, now you and I are probably old enough to remember this. So I was a New York Yankees fan, right? So my dad would take me to Yankee Stadium, and my hero was Mickey Mantle, number 7, center field, right? And just this past Memorial Day, I was thinking, I went to a Memorial Day doubleheader when Mickey hit the ball 2 inches from going out of the park, probably the longest home run still to this day ever hit in Yankee Stadium. I'll never forget that as a little boy. And I used to always beg my dad to stand by the player's door after the game so I could maybe get the Mick to come out and give me an autograph, which he never did. But that was like all my chest. So that was a big part of my growing up, being a New York Yankees fan. There were three teams, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Yankees were all in town. In New York, right? And if you were a Dodgers fan, you hated the Yankees and vice versa. And then we had the Crosstown World Series. And so those are a lot of happy baseball memories for me. So I went to school and high school there. I played sports in high school. I was a soccer player. in high school and also throughout my college career. So anyway, I'm very thankful for the place I grew up in and Bergen County. Remember the Superman movie where the missile was headed directly for Bergen County? That's where I grew up. And thanks to Superman, he rescued us from that. So I had a good childhood.
You guys were blessed in having three Hall of Fame outfielders, Willie Mays, Duke Snyder, and the Mick.
Yeah, all in New York City, all at the same time.
Yes.
Those were great baseball days, you know, and most people hated the Yankees because they won about everything. And then in the Crosstown World Series, when the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series, New York just came down. It was like, oh, my goodness. So good times. And I know you're a baseball fan, right, Jack?
Yes.
Yeah, you have a little memorabilia collection yourself.
Yes, I do. From 1970 to 1987, you were senior pastor of three Baptist churches. Talk about that 17-year chapter in your life.
Yeah, well, I went to a grad school seminary in Dallas, Texas, and really wasn't sure what the Lord had for my life. I knew that I wanted to give my life to serving him. And my senior year in the grad school, I got a call from my college roommate. He said, "Hey, Joe, we're planting a church in Springfield, Ohio. And we have 30 of us that are planting this church. How about, do you want to come be our pastor?" So that's where we started out, in this little church plant with 30 people, which was really very, very special, just with the desire to live to the glory of God and to bring others to the Lord. And that was in Springfield, Ohio, as I mentioned. And, you know, so I was there for about 6.5 or 7 years. And then the Lord took me to Kokomo, Indiana. There really is a Kokomo in Indiana, and served there for about 6 or 7 years. I'm not exactly sure. And that was very interesting. The Springfield Church was kind of a college town. I had several college professors and college students who would come. My ministry in Kokomo, Indiana was basically to blue-collar workers, the big Delco plant in there. And then the Lord took us to Southfield, Michigan, just outside of your territory, right? The Highland Park Baptist Church. And there I was pastoring executives for Ford and GM and a lot of mainline people who are very successful. And I look in the rearview mirror, and I think that God gave me the opportunity to learn to love and live with all different levels of people. And that was a preparation for me to go to Moody, where I would serve for who knows, only God knows why he took me to be the president of Moody. But all those constituencies that I had to serve there were really like the constituencies that I had been a pastor of. And my dad's church was a church with a lot of wealthy New York City executives in it. So anyway, I look in the rearview mirror and I see how God moved me in different places with different people to prepare me for the next step in my life for him. And I've often thought that all of those steps were really to prepare me to be successful for him in my work at Moody, with so many different constituencies of people whom I've learned to love and value, regardless of station, regardless of ethnicity. You know, we're all made in the image of God, right? So there's no tears in God's kingdom. We're all his people. We're all his children. And we all have value and worth. And that was an important lesson for me to learn through all those three pastorates.
We're talking to Dr. Joe Stoll. And in 1987, God sent him and his family to Chicago to become the president of Moody Bible Institute. When we come back, we'll talk about that chapter. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Joe Stoll. From 1987 to 2005, he was the president of Moody Bible Institute. Let's talk about that long chapter, very successful chapter in your life, Joe.
You know, it's interesting, Jack. I think following Christ is a real adventure. You know, who knows what plans he's got for you next. But I never dreamed that I would go to a place like the Moody Bible Institute and be involved in higher education and publishing and a coast-to-coast empire of radio stations. It was a conglomerate of many different ministries that were highly significant, really, in the kingdom of Christ. And I was a pastor of a church in Detroit, in Southfield, Michigan, your neck of the woods, as I mentioned, and just kind of out of the blue, the former president, who was getting ready to retire, came and had breakfast with me, and he said, "Hey, Joe," he said, I'm getting ready to retire, and the board's kind of looking for somebody." So I thought he was going to say, ask me for some names of his, you know, "Here, well, you ought to look at this guy or this guy." And he said, "And your name's on the list." I mean, Jack, I was on the floor, like, what? Like, you know, sometimes I think those guys are smoking something really bad. Here I go to this huge conglomerate, $100 million budget from being the pastor of this church. But it was God's plan. And so it worked out that we moved to Chicago, which was a big switch, right? No longer a Yankee fan. Now I had to be a Cubs fan, which was a great experience. And well, they never won the World Series while I was there. But, you know, just I was automatically sucked into Cubs world, which was a lot of fun. But Moody Bible Institute had a long and distinguished history. Primarily the educational part was to train people to do the work of Christ through the church globally. And the sun never set on Moody grads who all over the world were missionaries, were pastors, were medical doctors, nurses, all bringing the love of Christ to all kinds of places and all kinds of people. Then we had a publishing house, one of the major evangelical publishing houses. Even to this day, we owned and operated 30-some radio stations coast to coast. We had 3 conference grounds. We had a film and video company. It was just a massive impact for the kingdom of Christ. And I look back, I just count it to be such an undeserved honor to have been able to be a part of that enterprise that did so much. And so we grew to love the city of Chicago. It's a great town.
Great
pizza. Great baseballs. You know, we keep going back to baseball, right? I grew to love our students. So I moved from like church world where I had congregations to on our campus, all these wonderful 1,500 students who had a passion to do something significant in this world and to make an impact on this world and make this world a better place. And I just grew to love their zeal. The older I grew, their youth kept filtering into my heart and my life. They kept me young and they kept me idealistic, and their passion, you know, rubbed off on me. It was just fabulous. And I had the opportunity to tour the world and speak different places and see what was happening, the significant things that were happening. And you know this, Jack, that you get to places and you wonder, is God still at work? You know, because life gets to be kind of ordinary, right? And then you get to these places where, oh my goodness, and you see that God is doing amazing things through people and in people's lives and cultural adjustments. And so it was whatever I did for them, Moody did much more for me. It expanded my life. It expanded my mind. It expanded my heart, gave me global perspectives. And I'll never be the same person because I had the privilege of being at a place like Moody Bible Institute. And it's one of the great landmark places in Chicago. Dates back to the 1870s, right on LaSalle Street. You know, it's been parked there for all this time. And its founder was Dwight Lyman Moody. It's not the Moody financial rating system. It's Dwight Lyman Moody, who was a global evangelist. And he founded this school in Chicago to strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ. And it continues to this day with, you know, far greater impact even than when I was there.
Speaking of Jesus Christ, every one of us in the world has a best friend. It just so happens that this best friend for every one of us is the same person, if we allow it to be. and that person was a carpenter, Jewish, lived 2,000 years ago. Tell us about our best friend, Jesus.
Oh. Do we have a week here to talk about this, or kids, they say they have a BFF, best friend forever, right?
Yes.
All right, so Jesus is the best BFF because he indeed is best friend forever. You know, and whatever our listeners might think of the person of Jesus Christ, I just welcome them to grab a Bible and read through the Gospels and see what a compelling person Jesus Christ is. His compassion, his mercy, his grace, his wisdom, the way he dealt with people, the way he brought justice to injustice. I mean, I have to tell you this, that, you know, I'm getting older, and I have to admit that I'm getting a little tired of me, you know, tired of my insecurities, tired of my failures that I try to get on top of, tired of saying stupid things that I wish I could get back. But Jack, the older I get, I never get tired of Jesus. I find him more wonderful, more compelling, more interesting, more, in a good way, troubling in my life. I find that I don't grow tired of him. I'm glad to have somebody like that. And what we read in Scripture is that when we come to him, since he died for us and he died for our sins, no matter who we are, he is the inclusive Jesus Christ. We come to him and then he lives within us. And this isn't like having an invisible friend. Remember when you were little kids, you know, you had an invisible friend, right? This is not like that. This is real. Like, there's this internal reality where Christ comes and lives within us, guides us, directs us, comforts us in the midst of suffering and sorrow, expands our joys in the midst of good times. And then ultimately, when this life is over, and it will be for all of us, leads us into an eternity where, as Scripture says, there is no sorrow, there is no crying, there is no death, that all is joy and peace. And I think, interesting, when I think about that, that the eternity that Christ has in mind for us, you know, in our lives, we grow accustomed to things, don't we? They're really cool the first time, the second time, and then been there, done that. You know, that'll never be like that in Christ's eternity. The joy will be always. You'll never go, well, been there, done that. Hey, is there anything else going on here? Anyway, all of that to say is, you know, if you call Jesus your friend and receive him into your life, it's not that you're, you know, it doesn't mean that you'll never have difficult times or suffering, or, but it does mean you have somebody to go through that with that will be comforting and give you wisdom and help and courage and strength. And so, thanks for opening that door. You know, that's, and I realize there may be people that don't see that, but I have to tell you, it's real and it's wonderful. And to just welcome everybody into that reality.
We're talking to Dr. Joel Stoll, and there's three persons in the Trinity. We hear all the talk about the Heavenly Father and Jesus, and just this time of the year, for a little bit, we hear about the Holy Spirit during the Pentecost. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that third person, the Holy Spirit. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, or with Dr. Joel Stoll. And from 1970 to 87, he served as senior pastor of three Baptist churches. Dr. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, please.
Wow. So that takes us back, as you said just a few minutes ago, to the reality that the God of this of Scripture, the real God, who is indeed the only God, is actually expressed in three persons. So you have God the Father, you have Christ the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. And we call that, of course, the Trinity, of course. And it's a mystery. You can't quite, because they're all unique in themselves, yet they're all totally, fully a part of each other. I think, you know, life needs a few mysteries. I mean, if I could get everything figured out, I'd be God. And that would really annoy my wife a whole lot. So, you know, so we're not God, but he's got it figured out. We may not, but this mystery of the Trinity is a wonderful thing. And that God works together in these three persons. And I like to think, too, of the fact that it's not like a corporate organization, like God the Father has this job description, Jesus has this job description, the Holy Spirit has, and they just kind of do their work. Scripture tells us that they not only have different operations, but they love each other, and they're dear to one another. So in this Trinity, there's this loving, endearing kind of relationship, and Jesus Christ prayed it in John chapter 17 that those of us who follow him would be like God the Father and the Son. And that so that calls us into community to be like the Trinity and love each other and care for each other and count each other to be dear. So all of that is kind of like preface. So let's talk about this third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that is present today with us. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father in the heavens. And the Holy, he said to his disciples when he left, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And if you read the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened. Christ ascended, the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and demonstrated his power and his reality by the disciples who are speaking to this multinational group of people from many different countries. And all these people are hearing the gospel in their own language. It's like, what? How does that happen? And the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit has this capacity to do miraculous things that demonstrate the power and the reality and the love of Jesus Christ. So the ministries of the Holy Spirit are to magnify Christ, not himself. So the more I get to know the Holy Spirit, the more he leads me to know about this best friend Jesus that we talked about. And he illumines the truth of Scripture. As I read Scripture, the Holy Spirit helps me understand what Scripture is saying. The Holy Spirit convicts me when my life gets off out of the lane, when I go off the rails. The Holy Spirit is there to go check, you know, and to bring me back. The Holy Spirit assures me of forgiveness for my sins so that I don't have to live a life of guilt and shame. The Holy Spirit, so it gives me my relationship with Christ. So if you think, well, I don't know if I can have a relationship with Christ, you're wired for it. The Holy Spirit wires us for this relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit and sometimes you remember years ago, we'd call it the Holy Ghost, you know, it's not spooky, okay? And what is Spirit? It's just the reality that God dwells within me in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then Scripture asks me not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So it's possible for me just to ignore him and to go ahead and sin and, you know, to take my life in the wrong direction, but rather that we are to honor the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. So I get to walk with the Spirit as he guides and directs my life, which is a part of it as well. You know, it's the benefits of the reality of the Holy Spirit within us, that Jesus Christ sent him to be within us, are just, it's phenomenal. I don't know what life would be like without the indwelling God and the person of the Holy Spirit within me and within us.
All right, let's jump to 2008. Marty's happy, living in Chicago, everything's going good. And the Holy Spirit says, Joseph, I need you to go to Grand Rapids and become the president of Cornerstone University. How did you convince Marty to do that?
Well, that's interesting. Actually, you know, if you have the whole timeline of my life, I left Moody after 18 years to go back into a preaching, teaching ministry in a church there in Chicago. I just felt like it was time to kind of do that part of my life. And we were there for 2.5 years. And then, interestingly enough, God began to work in our lives. We were growing a little restless. We had, maybe if I can just make shorten this down a little bit, we had grandchildren in Grand Rapids. So you asked me how I convinced Marty. Like, I didn't need to convince Marty about anything about Grand Rapids, right? She's going like, Joe, we don't pray about these things. Okay, let's go to Grand Rapids. But it was deeper than that, actually. But we were a little restless in what we were doing. And just, we don't have time to go into all the details of the story, but just situation after situation, God made it very, very clear that he was going to take me back into higher education again, to working with students, you know, to help raise a whole new generation to influence the cultures of this world for Jesus Christ and his kingdom, which is an enterprise worth getting up in the morning for, Jack. And so, you know, and by the way, I should say that, you know, if we're talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, he never shows up and actually writes you a note and says, do this, don't do that. You know, it's not quite that direct, but it's situations. He does speak to us through the Word of God. You know, it's that, and there's that quiet, still voice in our hearts. And so he works through circumstances. He works through wise counsel. And so it was all of those kind of things. And that was a real surprise for us. We never dreamed we'd get back into higher education again, working with this next generation. And so we moved to Grand Rapids and just finished 13 amazing years of serving at the great Cornerstone University in Grand Rapids.
It was started 80 years ago, 1941. You've got about 2,000 students. Tell us about Cornerstone University, please.
All right, so it's a little different than Moody. Moody was a place that trained people to work in the church globally, all right? So we have students who become missionaries and pastors, but more than that, we do the doctor, lawyer, butcher, baker, liberal arts. We're basically a liberal arts university. What makes us unique is that we are unapologetically Christ-centered. Scripture says that in all things, Christ is preeminent. So I don't think colleges get a hall pass on that. I think that if he's preeminent, he needs to be preeminent at our university so that his ways are our ways. His will is our will. The way we treat each other and relate to one another is how he would have us do that. And he said, I am the truth. And so that, you know, Cornerstone is a truth-only zone. You know, there are no whispers from the darkness. Faculty members don't mislead people. We don't have the deceit of the evil one being taught in our classes. So we're quite unique in that sense. We're a faith-based university, which, by the way, gives us the opportunity, Jack, to work with the whole person. We're not here just to make people smart. We do a really good job of that. We're here to make our students wise and to build them relationally and socially and spiritually and intellectually. So the privilege of a place like Cornerstone, where we're developing the whole person and then sending that person out to help their places of employment flourish because they're the right kind of people and to influence the culture they find themselves in for Christ and his kingdom. It's a phenomenal school and very thankful. Felt honored and grateful to have been a part of its work.
If you want to learn more, www.cornerstone.edu. We're talking to Dr. Joel Stoll. When we come back, we're going to ask him about America's greatest natural resource. And it ain't water. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spoholm.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Joel Stoll. His web ministry is entitled Strength for the Journey, featuring daily devotionals, weekly messages, commentary. Doctor, America's greatest natural resource, what is it?
Well, but what it's not is water, like you said, even though we live in this Great Lakes area, right? So it's pretty good. It's not our industries. There's no doubt about it. First of all, the bigger picture, the greatest resource is people. But in that category, the greatest category are young people, the next generation. You know, this world will flourish. You know, we're all kind of in the process of moving on. You look in the rearview mirror, this generation's coming up behind us and investing in them. And I tell you that this generation, I think, you know, Jack, is growing up in a very challenging world, a world that's far different than what you and I grew up in. And to be able to create, to cultivate a generation of courage and compassion and conviction and dedication to what is true and dedication to what is right, regardless of what our world tells us, so that what is true and right prevails, because when truth and righteousness prevail, joy and peace come as a result. And I think as I look in the rearview mirror of my life, Jack, for reasons best known to God, the majority of my life has been spent building the next generation, this greatest resource that we have. They say that the most formative years of your life are 1 to 5. And you and I made it through that. So we're successful. The next most formative years of your life are your years at college, because you're out of home, you're out of Dodge, life is making up its own mind. And what, you know, I think we have freshmen coming into Cornerstone University who are alive and fresh. And I love talking with our freshmen. It's just to hear what they think. And then I talked with a group of seniors and I noticed the difference, their maturity, their strength, their commitment to what is right, their commitment to what is true. And then I realized that something like Christian higher education makes a phenomenal contribution to this world, because it produces this greatest resource in great, powerful ways. You know, you can take a resource, but what are you going to do with that resource? It's the outcomes of the resource that really count. And to be a part of a process, both at Moody Bible Institute and now at Cornerstone University, that's producing the outcome of great young people who are people of integrity, people of humility, people of compassion, people of faith, people of justice, all the things that makes this world a great world. These students go out and they move into their places of occupation. They move into their friendships. They move into their communities and they bring all these qualities with them. And the community then begins to flourish and their relationships begin to flourish. I mean, I just think, you know, like, this is worth getting up in the morning for, to help produce, take this great resource and make it something special and strong and effective. And so I've always been thankful that I've had the privilege of being a part of this great resource and making it what it needs to be so that our world and our culture can be a far better place.
Speaking of making this great resource what it should be and needs to be, most university presidents would say, my job is to make great leaders. You say, Joe, I quote you, our job is to make great followers.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Good. And I'd say most university presidents may also say, we're here to make a great university. I've always thought, we're not the cornerstone. We're not here to make a great university. We're here to make great people. Right. And you need a great university to get that done. And then there's that other part. You know, you hear universities advertise, send us your kids. We'll make leaders out of them, which I feel sorry for the kids who aren't gifted to be leaders. You know, they break out in a cold sweat. I don't want to be a leader. I'm not built to be a leader. But Jesus Christ made a very important point. When he called his disciples, he didn't call them to be leaders. He called them to be followers of him, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is to take in all that he has taught and to become like him. So all the qualities of good leadership are found in Christ. So if I'm a follower of Christ, I will be equipped to be a good leader. If I think of myself as being a leader and I'm trying to do it right, maybe my instincts will be wrong. Maybe I'll become proud. Maybe I'll become greedy. Maybe I'll cheat on integrity, you know, as all those temptations of leadership are there. But if I'm a follower of Christ, I have the potential to be an outstanding leader because he will counsel and advise and direct me in my leadership. So at Cornerstone, we say, you know, send us your kids. We'll make great followers out of them. And then the one that becomes leaders will be great leaders because they're followers of Christ.
All right. You've just stepped down as the leader after 13 years. What have the Cornerstone University students taught you, Joseph, these past 13 years?
Yeah, that's the best question. I'm a different person because I hang out with these kids. You know, I think, you know, the older we get, we tend to get a little calcified and grumpy and stuck in our ways and negative. These kids have passion, idealism, and they've taught me to be a real person. They've taught this generation, Jack, that they can sense a phony from far away. You know, they've taught me to be a person that's authentic. They've taught me to be a person of integrity, of honesty. They've taught me how important honest relationships are. They've taught me the idealism of believing you can make a difference in this world. They just have that in them. So in many respects, I'm going to miss hanging out with this generation because they have so many good qualities. And I just hope that I don't lose what they've taught me over the years.
These are crazy times. A lot of people are questioning whether God is still in control. I had a friend recently tell me, Jack, I believe he's still in control, but I don't understand why God is spotting the other side so many points. Is he still in control, Joe?
Yeah, so I think what we have to remember is that life is like a full-length feature film. If you freeze frame it in this moment, there's only despair, and you think maybe he's not in control. You got to let the film, he is the executive producer of all of history. And he is the one who guarantees outcomes that are always good, final, and what is right. And so you got to let the film roll. Don't freeze frame it in this moment because he is in control. And we may not understand that, but the day will come we'll understand fully why and where and what. And I agree, if you only have this moment, it looks like, whoa, you know, God gave up on us. But the fact is that he is the God who works all things together for good. That is the power of my God. And I believe that. And he's the executive producer. He'll make it out in the end.
You may not be a Hall of Fame outfielder, but you're a Hall of Fame, Christ-centered man. And as you embark, Doctor, on your next great chapter, we offer you best wishes and prayers. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. It's been a delight to be with you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.